Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, we're here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one, get intimate on a particular gaming topic. Yeah. My name is Ali and I'm joined by Luke.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. That's weird.
Don't question it.
It's an angry teenager.
You just have to accept and move on.
Watching Pornhub. Yeah, let's do that. Let's move on right away.
So we want to talk about Resident Evil.
We do any excuse, really, isn't it? Like, because you, before we did this, I was like, we don't normally talk about one specific game franchise. And then you were like, well, last year we spoke about Resident Evil 7 just by itself for a whole topic.
And now it's becoming like this annual little...
Res Evil Fest?
Yeah, sure.
Zombie Fest.
Tradition is the word.
Oh, okay. That's
like,
more.
Reach for. But, yeah, I thought it'd be fun to talk about the franchise because you've played Resident Evil 2, which is the game that just came out.
That's right. My review is Evil 2. My review's on checkpointgaming.net.
Yeah, exactly. And I always love to discuss these things with you because, I don't know, I always feel like we have at least a slightly different perspective on these kind of things. Resident Evil 2, for me, has been a lot of fun so far. It's a spooky game, but it's also
spooky.
An action game, but not nearly as much as some of the other Resident Evil games, like 5 or 6, for instance.
Yeah.
It really relied on that kind of action.
It's been an interesting journey for that franchise, I think. I think it's partly to do with all sorts of different things. You know, I think that when they did Resident Evil 4, that was like a big change for them in terms of how their games look, because that's when they moved from that fixed camera in each room type style.
Yeah.
You know,
good riddance. Oh my God, I cannot stand fixed camera games.
But it's funny because when I was younger, survival horror games, they were all built on that foundation of that fixed camera.
Yeah,
and I loved it. I used to really enjoy it.
I mean, for the time? But it's not like you'd go back and go, this was a cornerstone of gaming.
It is tricky today. And I tell you, I played Onimusha Warlords, the remake of that, on the Switch recently, which has that fixed camera. And, like, it doesn't hold up. It's really hard to play nowadays, for sure. But I think, you know, Resident Evil 4 was a bit more action-focused as well. Not entirely, but it definitely had some more action moments.
Yeah. It moved in that direction.
Yeah, and then so 5 sort of doubled down on that and was like, let's have more action. Let's have co-op. And then 6 was like, this action fest. Like, it was more action than horror.
Yep.
You know, it sort of evolved. I don't know if that's the game's fault or the game direction, or if that's to do with the fact that the Resident Evil movie franchise was always heavily grounded in action more than horror.
I don't know what the reason is, but it annoyed me. I actively dislike 6. And the funny thing is, when 7 came out, I was such a big fan because it took such a drastic, like, approach to, you know, what Resident Evil is. It
went back to horror.
It still felt like Resident Evil, but it was new. It was different. They weren't relying on laurels. They weren't just, like, moving in this, like, annoying direction. I didn't like it. I don't like the... Like, there's so many action games out there and not enough horror games, so don't move your horror game in an action direction.
Yeah, especially when horror at the moment is experiencing a resurgence. Well, not a resurgence. It's been going for a while now.
But it never, like, I don't know that there are games that have been that outrageously successful. Like, you look at the sales figures of Resident Evil 7, and it's not crazy good.
Or
it's
like Evil Within 2, another one that should have done really well, but really probably didn't.
Having said that, guess what's done really well for itself?
The remake.
Resident Evil 2 remake. It raises interesting questions because I have a lot of thoughts on this and I want to know your thoughts. I've asked this to you before already. I want to make sure you still have the same perspective. Do you prefer Resident Evil 2 remake over Resident Evil 7, the most two recent games released in the franchise?
That's so tough, isn't it?
It is.
You know, it's tricky for me because Resident Evil 7, I played mostly in VR. And that was a really new way of playing a horror game for me, let alone a Resident Evil game. And it really was intense because it was in virtual reality. Like, you hear a noise behind you and you have to look behind you. That is creepy. Like, I remember squealing playing that game. So I think that Resident Evil 7 was a scarier experience for me. However, the game that I would go back and play again would be Resident Evil 2. I think Resident Evil 2, it kind of captured the essence of what made Resident Evil special when it first came out, but upgraded it and modernized it in a way that made it so appealing as a modern gamer and had so many cool puzzles and secrets that I really wanted to go back and kind of delve back in.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. I think that it's no secret that the Resident... I think they've stumbled across the perfect formula with Resident Evil 2. I think just as far as its marketability and its success, right? Like, this, there's a reason Resident Evil 2 has been more successful than 7. Quite clearly, people like the third-person kind of action, the third-person camera system.
Yeah.
But with those kind of, like, horror tropes that the original games were known for, with the brand new kind of engine that Resident Evil 7 is known for. Like, they've kind of found their winning formula a bit, and it looks like, you know, Resident Evil, I think, always struggled a bit in the more recent kind of iterations to recapture what made the original so great, or definitely recapture its spot in the market as this big powerhouse of a franchise. But it looks like they've kind of found that again, and it wouldn't surprise me if Resident Evil 8, whatever they do next, is like a proper third-person game in the vein of the Resident Evil 2 remake. And it wouldn't surprise me if they continue to remake old games in this style, because it is just working for them.
I mean, I'm very keen on a Resident Evil 3 remake with this style now, because Nemesis, for me, is one of my favourites.
Well, here's the thing. I need it, because I've played 4, 5, 6, 7, and now 2, but I haven't played 1 and 3.
The missing link.
Yeah. I haven't played 1 and 3 yet. I've tried to play 1, and I really struggled because of fixed camera stuff, even when they did their little remake or whatever they did of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, like, it was just too hard for me. So I really do want to see them continually remake them like this. Having said that, I prefer Resident Evil 7. I like Resident Evil 2 remake a lot. However, Resident Evil 7, I didn't play with VR, but it was certainly a scarier game. I think Resident Evil 7 lost its way a bit towards the end, where it got a bit convoluted and a bit more boring and a bit more action-y. However, the Baker family and that kind of first section, I think, is just... it was really, really fantastic. And yes, you can see all the lessons they've learned from 7 and put into 2, whether that's... and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't play the original 2, but was Tyrant just kind of walking, chasing you like Jack was from the Baker family? Was that in there?
Yeah, Tyrant was definitely in the original PlayStation version as well. Like,
constantly stalking you?
It didn't feel as frustrating as it did in the remake.
I'll give you that.
Because in the old one, you know, because it was a fixed camera situation, essentially, he couldn't just walk into any room at any time. It was sort of, it was a bit more scripted in how he sort of came at you. He still broke through walls occasionally and stuff, which was scary, but the limitations of the console meant that it wasn't this constantly wandering around AI in the same way that he was in the remake.
Yeah.
So it is very different. I think the main difference for me between what makes either of them more palatable is kind of the perspective. You know, first-person Resident Evil was the first time they'd done that. And I think it's worth noting that there's been, not including the remakes they've done, over 20 Resident Evil games.
Oh, that's a lot, isn't
it? You don't think about that, really, because you go, well, Resident Evil 7 came out last year. There's been 20, right?
Yeah, there's
over 20. And we're talking about spin-offs, right? We're talking about Resident Evil Survivor. We're talking about Code Veronica. We're talking about Outbreak and Outbreak File 2. We're talking about the Umbrella Chronicles, the Umbrella Corps, the multiplayer game they did a couple of years ago that was absolute trash. The Revelations 1 and 2, which were episodic releases of Resident Evil episodes over a course of a year. They've done so many different Resident Evil games that it's almost shocking that it took that long to do a first-person one when they did Resident Evil 7, because there were so many before it. And I think that, you know, what game you prefer out of that and Resident Evil 2 heavily depends on that perspective shift.
Yeah,
I've always preferred horror from a third-person point of view, because I like seeing what's around me and seeing different angles. I find that sometimes in first-person, and this goes for all games, in a first-person perspective, you kind of don't get that full scope of perspective around you. And I've always found that trickier when it comes to, like, puzzle solving and getting your environment down and stuff like that.
I mean, it's a much smaller cone of vision. And I guess that's
more what I was thinking,
to its advantage and its disadvantage in a horror setting. Obviously, the advantage of that is that you're so in this character's world and viewpoint and perspective that it feels more real, I guess, especially if you're playing in VR. And those spooks can just jump out at you.
Absolutely.
And but you have nothing to hide in that kind of setting.
But at the same time, nothing sucks more than being damaged from something you can't see and not knowing where it is or what it is, because you're like, oh, I got to spin around. And like, I just hate that. You know, it's kind of nauseating.
That's fair. The funny thing about the kind of third-person games, and I think I'm alone in this because I haven't seen people mirror my thoughts on this too often, but I think, and I don't know why it's getting away with it. But I think all of the Resident Evil third-person games that we've had have had really awkward movement controls and really slow, sluggish, and it takes you out of control of the game. And I know that helps horror, but it also turns into a frustration, because when you're playing those boss fights and stuff where the guys are just running at you and you're very slowly sauntering backwards or doing these like awkward aims and you can't like sidestep or anything, and you're basically just guaranteed to get hit and you have to like just take some meds or whatever to deal with it. It's no longer this kind of high stress, can I survive situation, because it's a, well, I know I'm going to get attacked. I just have to continue walking and pumping bullets.
It's like how you manage that.
Yeah.
It's more strategical than...
And I think maybe that's why I like 7 better, because the first-person perspective feels awkward in every game. So it felt natural. Whereas the third-person, you always feel like you're going to have more control, and you don't.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, you know, Resident Evil... I'm glad that the remake has been a success for them.
Oh, me too. Man, because those games are so good.
There's a whole generation of people that have never played these games on PlayStation. I mean, even yourself, you didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
You would have been quite young when they came out. Probably too young to play a horror game.
I don't know. When did the first one come out?
The first one, 95.
Yeah, so I was 3.
Or 96, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and for me, like, I played Resident Evil when I was a kid. That was probably one of the first horror games I played, was the original Resident Evil. And I watched a friend play it, actually, and I was so scared just watching him. And I would have been, like, 9 years old.
Yeah.
And then I played Silent Hill by myself for the first time a couple of years later, and it traumatized me. I was like, what is this? But I love it. So I think, you know, it's good that now we have this new generation that's going to play Resident Evil and see what made it special. I shudder to think that there were some people that their first Resident Evil might have been 6.
Right,
you know, and that's what they think very Resident souring. Evil is. Or they've gone to watch the movies with Mila Jovovich and they think that it's this big action movie and, like, over-the-top dialogue and stupid. And I just think that what made Resident Evil so fun was its horror beginnings. And I'm really glad they've refound that and they've gone back to making that special again.
You know what I think is so interesting about Resident Evil? So many game franchises, when they get big enough, they get mimics. They'll get games that kind of take their aesthetic or take their mechanics or whatever. But I just, like, Resident Evil, no matter whether it was the third-person game or the old-school ones or the Resident Evil 7 or this remake, like, these games feel so Resident Evil that it could not be mistaken for any other franchise. I don't know that any, like, kind of franchise has been able to copy that formula as well. And I'm talking about stuff like the kind of environmental puzzle solving and the backtracking and the inventory management and the way the games will all find ways to force you back through the areas you've already been, and make you feel quite calm about that, because, you know, I've been here already, I know what's up, and then allows the game to really kind of startle you when you're most vulnerable as well. Like, there's some core things to those games that are just so iconic throughout the entire series, and it's amazing that it stays so truthful to itself in that way, no matter which kind of game you end up playing.
Yeah, I think there's something really cool about having this large space where you're essentially spending maybe half the game in, like, the police station in Resident Evil. And, you know, it's a bit gimmicky. It's like, oh, it used to be a museum. That's convenient because there's statues and puzzles. but, you know, I love that. I love that you spend so much time there that you do slowly unlock different bits of the museum piece by piece. You slowly unpeel more of this onion, you know, and you're like trying to get these different layers, and then another part opens up and you're like, oh my god, there's a bell tower in here and I have to get to that somehow, and then that leads to a puzzle that I couldn't do like 10 hours ago, but now I can. I think that's really clever to have such a large space that's kind of cleverly sealed off, almost in like a Dark Souls type fashion. I know Resident Evil did it first back in the day, but we see Dark Souls and Souls-like games now where you'll unlock a way back through to the start of a short, you know, you unlock a shortcut basically, and that will lead you back to the start, and you get that relief of like, oh, I know where I am again, I'm back here, this is awesome, and you can kind of regroup. And Resident Evil does that. It provides that massive space that's so interconnected and interesting with so many puzzles and hidden bits and pieces. I love finding that exact thing that you need and going, oh, that's for the weapon locker I saw before.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go back there. You know, it makes you want to do that. Even if it's not essential to the game, you still have that craving to do so.
The game always takes your full attention because every little thing you find is a part of this jigsaw puzzle that you have to solve. And that whole jigsaw kind of gameplay is taking place while all this horror is happening around yeah. you. And that's brilliant because the game forces you to be in these same areas and forces you down little tunnels that make sure that the scares are going to get you at certain points and whatnot. But it's also so organic as well. It's not a game that relies on jump scares at certain moments. I mean, occasionally, but like if you think about Tyrant, the guy chasing you or stuff like that, like one player will get scared in a certain room at a certain time because of just how the stars aligned at that moment the Tyrant runs into you, whereas another player won't see that again or ever, maybe. I remember playing Resident Evil 2, the remake, and I shot a zombie in the head. They fall down. I go to walk past them, and they grab my leg and drag me down towards them. And I'm like, this is an animation. I'm like, 8 hours into this game, this is an animation I've never seen before, but I bet it could have happened to any single one of these zombies that I've ever encountered. It just happened to happen with this guy.
Yeah.
And I think, in some ways, Resident Evil as a series, or the remake, has done some things that games haven't quite done before, or it's done it better than other games have ever done. I love the fact that the zombies you come across are persistent. So you kill a guy right at the start of the game, a zombie, it'll be downed on the ground. You walk past that exact same zombie 6 hours later and it might get up. Because that zombie will always remember its location, it's here, this is where I was last time you saw me. And you have no idea if whatever you have done has actually like ended the kind of life cycle of this creature,
yeah,
or whether it's just down on the ground.
And that's something I think that, you know, modern technology has really helped, you know, because it can have those actual things in its memory as a game where the AI is smart enough to be in that position at all times. That probably couldn't have happened on the original one. You know, this wouldn't have been the technology available to do that. So the fact that you do have these, you know, little AI moments that are probably worked in to be a little bit randomized as well.
Oh, for sure.
To mimic a real world setting rather than it feeling like a game, like, oh, I killed the enemy stayed dead now, good.
Yep.
You know, to change that constantly, I find really, really cool. And it's also just little touches as well that the game does so well. I know, like, with Side B of Resident Evil 2, the remake, when you, like, in the first game, there's that police dude who's, like, in the lobby in the first time you play through it.
Mm.
And, like, he eventually dies, of yep. course. And then in Side B, you go back to the lobby and there he is as a zombie, like, you know, wandering around and stuff. And it kind of has all these little cool full circle moments like that that I quite appreciate too.
Yeah, there was even the moment, and I guess we're moving into spoiler territory, so sorry.
Oh.
But very, very early in the game, you kind of cut a zombie in half with a roller door.
Yeah.
And then, I swear, like, right towards the end of the game, you end up walking back into that area.
Yeah.
And here is half a zombie crawling at you. And it's like, I've walked past this half zombie a million times before. Why is it this one
there
time
he is, just
that
chilling,
he's crawling at
keen
me?
Keen for your brains.
So it is very clever.
Yeah.
And I think what makes Resident Evil 2 really effective, when you compare it to 7, because these are the most two recent games I've played,
yep.
Resident Evil 2 hits a high early and continues.
Yeah.
Whereas 7, I think, drops off towards the end, but 2 finds new areas to move into. For instance, like the plant-style zombies within the facility,
oh.
they're horrific.
Yeah, 2 maintains its pace and doesn't let up. And like, when you go to a new area,
going.
Yeah, you head to a new place, and it just escalates so quickly as well.
Yeah.
Like that one licky you find near the start, you're like, yeah, cool,
yeah.
bro. And then later on, you're in a hallway. Oh, there's like 10. it's different. You know, and when you got lickers and zombies and tyrants stalking you at the same time, it escalates to a point where you just feel constantly uneasy and on edge.
Always on edge. Absolutely. Yeah. And even, I mentioned this on our on-air broadcast, but there was like your safe rooms, you always feel you're safe in them, right?
Yeah.
So you let your guard down. But there is, like, I had no idea this could happen, but Tyrant, the guy who's pursuing you, just walks into my safe room. I'm like, what? Who are you? Like,
my safe space?
Yeah, like, I thought I was safe here.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm not. And all of a sudden, these moments where you feel like you're not on edge, well, bad luck, you're back on edge again, because this is a horror game, and bad luck, stuff you.
I think that's what's so great as horror as a genre in games and movies is, you know, if it can set expectations and get you comfortable with those expectations, and then make you feel fine, but then pull the rug out from under you and you least expect it later on in the narrative. That's what good horror does, you know? It gets you used to, I know there's a jump scare coming, I just don't know how it's going to happen. And I think Resident Evil 2 is such a great example of that, of setting those expectations really early and then constantly ripping that rug out from under you and making you feel on edge again.
Absolutely.
Even though you've put 8 hours into it, you think you know everything, but oh man, it still manages to shock you.
Such a clever game, and it's got me in a real... I mean, it's such a Resident Evil high at the moment. Like, I want to play the old games, even though I know I'll hate the fixed camera perspective.
Yeah,
I just want to do research and all the fan theories and, like, just experience that game. And I'm so glad Resident Evil 2 has done well for itself, because we need more.
Yes.
Like, keep bringing Resident Evil games, because they're doing, for me at least, they're doing something that no other kind of horror franchise is managing to do. Obviously, there are awesome horror franchises out there, but there's just something different about Resident Evil. And it's so unique and iconic and awesome that... it needs to keep happening.
I hope we see other horror franchises get a resurgence from this too. Like, I still don't know what's happening with Silent Hill.
Oh,
I know it was going to be, it was going to happen with Kojima and then got cancelled and all that. I don't care. Like, just, I hope someone's working on it somewhere, you know? I hope that they can see the popularity of Resident Evil. And the other big hitter was Silent Hill back in the day that sort of started horror as this big thing.
You know what I want to see?
Yeah.
A fear, like a new fear game. Did you ever play that?
Yeah, I love Fear.
Freaking
Little
awesome.
Alma, yeah.
Like, what happened to that series?
There's actually heaps. You look at Dino Crisis, another one, for example. Onimusha is another one they could redo easily today with modern stuff. I mean, there's heaps of great horror games.
We know that horror game.
Fear Effect.
Yeah.
There's heaps of great ones.
I mean, they had one of them recently and wasn't
very
good.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about that.
Anyway, Luke, thank you for joining me on our little chat about Resident Evil.
Thank you. I'll always talk horror with you. You know that.
Oh, yeah. That's true. If I ever want to get you into the studio, all I have to mention is that one word.
I'll come running.
Anyway, thank you guys, and make sure you join us next week for more Intimate Goodness.
Yeah.